Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, episode 42. My name is Michelle Malloy-Dillon.
And I'm David Langiuli. And Michelle, today we have a special guest who's roving around Southwest Florida. It's Barbara Evans, a good friend and colleague from the fundraising world. And Barbara just took on a new role as the Chief Development Officer of the Harry Chapin Food Bank. Welcome, Barbara.
Thanks so much, David and Michelle. I'm excited to be with you today.
Yeah. So, Barbara, you wrote an awesome article that was published on the Fundraising Leadership blog site, sort of bringing together two topics that are near and dear to your heart, parenting and leadership.
It's an interesting combination, isn't it?
It is. So we want to talk to you a little bit about that, like some ways that you find that you're able to bring these two realms together.
Well, you know, as I wrote in my article, it kind of happened naturally as I became a parent myself and started to realize that the management of a team had a lot of similar characteristics to that of being a parent. And so that's sort of how it kind of began to percolate within me. And so I started to recognize some of the functionalities, you know, stewarding stewarding your team is a lot like stewarding your children. You're having to spend time with them, nurture them, develop them the same way that you do with your own kids. Or you should be doing with your kids, in my humble opinion. That's sort of how it kind of started to resonate with me.
Well, I love that, Barbara, because there's a way that powerful teams, there's an awareness of the potential of each member on that team, right? Mm-hmm. And it's sort of fostering the strengths of each of those members and seeing that there's potential for them throughout the arc of their life, as in parenthood, right? You start with young children, but there's such potential. Like they're going to go out into the world at some point and do their own thing or do something different.
Totally. And what's really interesting, I'm in a very unique place right now because, you know, as David mentioned, I'm just now starting in a new role. So I'm kind of walking in fresh, looking at my current team, trying to assess what are their strengths, what are their weaknesses, how can I build on that? How can I structure this department differently? Much in the same way that I do with my kids. It's the start of a new school year. What sort of activities should I continue doing with them? What do we need to do differently? Sort of, you know, so it's a really interesting time that we're having this conversation because for me personally and professionally, it's really on point.
Yeah. It's very present for me as well, Barbara. We were just involved in a lengthy conversation with our younger daughter who just moved into the high school as a freshman and looking at her strengths and her gifts and her weaknesses now, and which are very different from my older daughter who's just started as a freshman in college. And creating the environment for her, and I'm kind of bridging this over to leadership, where she can really thrive with the gifts that she has. Mm-hmm. Also to continue to challenge her. So I'm wondering if you have some thoughts about that as from the leadership perspective on teams, like looking at, because you mentioned this in the article, like looking at strengths and sort of looking at each person on the team as an individual and treating them that way.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you have to, when you're looking at your team, you have to look at each person, really get a sense of not only what are their strengths, what do they want to be doing, what do they want to be improving upon? Because it's one thing, you might be strong at doing one function, but you hate doing it. And why would you want to continue to force them to be doing that? It's amazing. And when you stop and you really work with someone individually and you really outline what are your strengths, what are your weaknesses? I tend to want to really more focus in on the strengths and less focus in on the leadership that way, or their weaknesses that way, their leadership sort of grows organically. And to me, it's better to be more confident and focus on what you're really good at than to spend your time focusing on what you're not good at, because that's depressing. And so when you create this culture of strengths, of empowerment, to me, it's very positive, very healthy. People want to be there. Just like at home, when you create a culture of building on your children's strengths versus harping on their negatives, it's a much happier home life.
And there's such an aspect to this as a leader to really be able to listen in, right? To really be able to look at your team members and see their strengths, ask them what they think their strengths are, mm-hmm. ask them about where they want to go, listen in, see how that plugs into the whole team and to the work that you're doing. And same with parenting, right? There's an aspect to slowing down in order to speed up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I often say, you know, in the fundraising world, you know, you have to be listening to what the person is telling you, not what you want to hear, but what they are telling you. Because I feel like when you truly are listening to somebody and really helping them hone in on their strengths, that's what builds loyalty. That's what builds team. That's what builds excitement, continues to flourish with their passion. To me, those, when you're listening and hearing what's being said and not what you want to hear being said, it's a much better approach.
Mm. Yeah, I like that. You also mentioned something about something we talk a lot about in our leadership development work with nonprofit folks, you know, taking full responsibility. You know, it's such an, as a parent and as a leader, it's such a juicy topic. And I'm going to have you comment on it in a minute, but I remember many years ago reading, and I recommend this article to the audience, it's an old Harvard Business Review article called "Who's Got the Monkey?" I don't know if you ever read that article. I recommend it to you, Barbara, if you've never read it. And okay. You know, the metaphor is that, you know, someone who works on your team, you're the leader of the team. They come into your office, and there's this monkey on that person's back, and that's the problem, right? The problem's the monkey. And then by the time that person leaves your office, the monkey has jumped from their back to your back. And the idea of taking full responsibility and teaching your members of your team is like, you can talk about the monkey, you put the monkey on the table, you try to figure out what to do with the monkey, but you got to be sure as the leader of the team that monkey leaves with the person as they walk out your door. So anyway, I recommend that article to the audience. I've shared it with a lot of folks, but share a little bit more about this idea of taking radical responsibility for your gifts and what you're doing.
Well, I mean, what you're sort of describing is scary, right? I mean, when you're a parent and you hand those car keys to your 16-year-old for the first time and let them go out, that's nerve-wracking. I haven't done that yet, but I am anticipating doing that at some point. God help me.
Yes, it's nerve-wracking.
It is. Yes, trust us on this.
Yes. But, you know, I mean, and the same is in the workplace, because ultimately, you know, as the leader, it's your responsibility, it's your reputation that's on the line. And, you know, in the case of the nonprofit world, you know, if the fundraisers aren't doing their job, you know, services can't be completed. People are, you know, in my case, people are going to go hungry, both my clients and my staff. So it's very scary to sort of let go of those reins. But I'm a big believer in you have to allow room for people to make mistakes. Because for me, that's for my learning style, that's how you learn. You make a mistake, you can't flip out over it. You just say it is what it is. Then you pull back, you dissect what happened. You go through the steps, the decision-making process. And then you identify, okay, this is how we can fix it. And then you got to allow that person the opportunity to fix it. Because if you do it for them, they're not going to learn anything. Just like if you do things for your kids, you can't always be driving them around. You know, you're going to have to let them do it and realize that stuff's going to happen. But the more that you sit down and explain and work through with that person, the why, the how, the everything, then to me, you're more empowered. You better understand the situation or the learning opportunity, and most likely that mistake won't happen again. But when it does, or if it does, that's then when you, in my opinion, you rein back and say, okay, I'm going to have to fix this, and we're going to have to not have you do this particular task or area of responsibility until you've shown me that you're ready to take that back on again. Mm.
I think you're pointing the audience in a direction where we want to give them something to try. That's what we do on the podcast. And so if you were to summarize it, you know, this conversation about strengths and then taking some risk with allowing your staff to fail, what do you want to give the leaders in the audience? What do you want to ask them to try?
Well, first of all, I think that everyone should take a deep breath when you're about to do this exercise. I think it's important to create a space where risk-taking, calculated risk-taking, can take place. I often, with my four-year-old, when she was younger, actually with both of my kids, when it was time to get dressed, I would pre-select what they could wear. I would offer them two outfits. I could care less which one they wanted to wear, but I allowed them the opportunity to try something and to make their own decision. You can do that same sort of function in the workplace where you allow your team in a quote unquote controlled environment that it still allows them the opportunity to grow and to stretch. So you create this space that allows for development that's controlled so that it's not a 100% risky. And that would be my recommendation. Then after you sort of set that stage and you allow that opportunity for growth, take a deep breath again and watch, because I think you might be surprised at the ability of your team. In the nonprofit world, most everybody is there working because they want to do good. They want to help. They want to be adding value to a team. And so when you provide that space, and you can do it in a controlled way that allows for that to continue to flourish, you might find yourself rather surprised with how that goes.
Yeah, that's great. Barbara, I love the, you know, there is that allowing space. There's that, there's that holding at the beginning of allowing them to take the risk and holding the space for them to do that together, you know. To do that, to complete their task, to know that they can do it as well.
Yeah. Well, it builds confidence, it builds encouragement, and then as I said earlier, it builds loyalty. And, you know, it's a place where you want to be, not a place where you dread to be. And yeah. To me, that's also indicative of strong leadership.
And it's a little uncomfortable for you as the leader to create that space. And it's uncomfortable for them to try new things. And that's where growth happens. So we encourage the audience to create space for their teams to try new things and even have the F word, failure.
And remember to take a deep breath.
Or maybe a glass of wine.
Oh, yes. Well, I would have enjoyed that with you last night, Barbara, at our AFP meeting. Sorry you couldn't join us, but it's great to have you on the podcast. Thank you so much for writing the article and for encouraging our audience to steward their teams.
Oh, wow. Yes. Thank you both so much. The pleasure is definitely all mine.
Absolutely. And I'd like to remind our audience to please subscribe to our podcast if you haven't already. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. Now go put it into practice. Curiosity.